Heyo, and here we go. Welcome to another episode of We Talk Music. We are live and in your ear. I am your host, Mr. Brett Podcast. Unfortunately, my co-host Mo could not join us today, so I'm just going to have to fly solo on this one, but that's okay because nobody wants to hear from us. They only want to hear from our guest, and she is so amazing. She is singer, songwriter, and laughing, and she is being called the queen of rock and roll in Canada. I mean, this is super exciting. We have Sass Jordan on the line. Sass, how are you?
So fabulous. That's fantastic, sitting here on my throne with my crown and my scepter. I'm teasing.
When is that picture coming out on social media?
Yeah, really, wouldn't that be the coolest? Oh, listen, minion, I need you to pick up some groceries.
Yeah, that's the Canadian queen, right? When it's just like, I really need you to pick up groceries for me.
Because I have to cook. Oh, I like cooking anyway. That would be a problem. You know what? It's all good. All of it's good. I'm happy no matter what I discovered. Because, by the way, we didn't have hot water in our house for the past, like, 6 days. Because, just chaos. So the hot water heater wasn't working. So I figured if you can figure out how to live without hot water, if you're used to it. Of course, these are first world problems. I'm not, stupid. If you're used to having hot water when you turn on the faucet and suddenly it's not there, oh my God!
It's quite the shock, yes. I've had that problem, but I had it in a third world country, so I suppose it's like, how do you, first world problems in a third world country? Oh, that's bad math.
Holy Hannah, yeah, it's pretty crazy. You don't realize, it's like you just take things for granted. You don't realize how incredibly lucky we are in so many ways,
Oh, no doubt.
To live in this environment, my goodness. Anyway, aside from that.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's talk some music. I mean, what you talk about the Canadian environment, and as the the queen of rock and roll in Canada, you should know something about that. So tell me then what it's like to be in music in Canada.
Well, I don't think it's any different from anywhere else. Being able to create and perform and, share music for a living is a huge gift, I would say, I mean, it's an extremely tough job. Like, don't get me wrong here. There's a lot of, stuff that goes into it. I don't think people think it's as glamorous now as they once did.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because there's so much more information out there as to what kind of a lifestyle it can be. But honestly, to be able to create, and that right there allows an enormous amount of energy to flow through you, so it makes you, it's very uplifting. I find a lot of the people that I know that play music for a living tend to stay younger longer. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Not everybody, but a great deal of people. So as far as music in Canada, I think it's, from what I can tell, I would say that it's thriving and it's a very lively scene. There's so much music going on in Canada and actually all over the world. And the thing is, music tends to eradicate, borders and boundaries, so it's like a different the planet of music has no borders and boundaries, so it's a collective, a massive collective with musicians all over the world. That's the way I see it these days.
Yeah, and I think there's no doubt about that, because as a music fan, and especially I know from musicians, going out there in the world and finding all those new rhythms and the sounds and all that exciting stuff, and you kind of bring it back and you And I think sometimes you make it part of yourself. I mean, Lord knows the Beatles sure did, but I think
yeah, absolutely.
As artists that we are familiar with, especially in North America, do that, then I think it does help open the world up. And I think that we, as fans, we start to understand the other music around the world and realize that it is all music.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. And music is just, it's an expression of the soul, of the heart. On the whole, I wouldn't say all of it. You know, it's just like anything. It's, you know, there's the prepackaged, pre-digested, homogenized stuff as well, right? Which is fine. It's got its place, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't necessarily interest me particularly, although there's some that I, you know, don't mind. But in general, music is an expression of the soul and the heart of whoever it is who's performing it. So it is a very, very powerful way to communicate with people, especially people who don't even necessarily speak the same language, you know, linguistically as you do. Everybody speaks music, though. Except for there are people that don't care about it. I run into them. There's people that don't actually do not give a shit about music.
And that's weird.
It's so weird. But there's quite a few. They do exist, you know. And the other thing that I find hilarious is people will say to me, well, I love music, but I'm completely tone deaf. And I'm like, well, who told you that? And it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. You don't need to be a great singer to sing. Just sing. You know what I mean? Just sing. That's something that everybody can actually do without, you know, needing to learn like an instrument or something. It doesn't matter if you do it well or not. You're not, not everybody's going to be, you know, doing it as a performer, but it's really good for you to sing. It's good for your body, just the vibration of it, the frequency of the sound of the voice, you know?
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And one thing is for sure that nobody, you know, nobody could ever listen to your albums and call you prepackaged or anything other than authentic.
Well, some of it, maybe.
Okay, maybe a few songs, but not.
Yeah, you know, because you always, whenever you make a collection of songs, it used to be called a record. Now I just call it a collection of songs that you released at the same time. So
that's,
anyway.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody and that called it that recently.
It
yeah.
Right? I know. I just you always, you know, do the best that you think it can be at that moment. But then whenever you, when you look back, there's always, you know, there's always stuff that you would like change. Actually, not always, but very often there is, you know, so.
I think that's the same of any artistic,
yes,
you know, output
exactly.
For you.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what? Probably even like in business or for entrepreneurs and stuff like that. I bet you it's the same thing. They make a deal and they go, ah, dang. I should have done that.
Yeah. Or the one that got away. I'm sure that happens all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? That's the beauty of being alive. You can always create something else.
Yeah. So at what point did you kind of realize, because I mean there's quite a big difference between your first and second album and then into Rats and stuff like that. So at what point did you kind of get your sound?
You know, that's an interesting question, because I don't know that I have one per se. Like, to my mind, I don't think I really... Are you talking about musically or just the voice?
Well, I guess... I mean, the voice is... I mean, I feel like you've been fairly consistent with that throughout
right.
Your career.
That's it. Yeah, and that's the only thing that I can say is sort of pretty much the same is just the voice. Because the music is... I've been all over the place with music, which is like the instrumental side of it, but that's what keeps me interested I have to say. You know what I mean? Like, it's just getting to experiment and do different things with different people, and I love that because it's always a different energy, you know? It's just like performing live. You play the same damn songs over and over, but it's the audience that makes the song different from one night to the next. It's the people who are there listening to it, exchanging the energy with you. That's what makes a song able to continue being alive. You know what I mean? Like in your heart, instead of just dying of freaking boredom, where you're just, I'm like, I hate rehearsing because I'm like, I play this song to people. I'm sick of this song. I'm gonna write a song called "I'm Sick of This Song."
That should, but yeah. How long does it take you to get sick of the "I'm Sick of This Song" song?
It so depends on the song. And the thing is, if you're sick of it in rehearsal, like, oh dear Lord, if I ever have to do this again. But as soon as you get on the stage, it's a new song again. You know, so that's what keeps the songs alive, as I say. That's what makes them your children, and then they grow up into adults, and, you know, hopefully they never die. Hopefully I die before my songs die.
Well, and that's exactly it, right? I mean, I think it's that natural urge of humanity as a whole to create something, especially creative people, is to create something that will outlive them.
You know what? It's interesting you say that, Brett, and I did just say that myself, but I could give to you know what, because if I'm not here, I don't care.
That's,
do you see what I'm saying? Like, I really don't. I don't give a shit. It's like someone,
you say whatever you like.
After I die. I don't even give a shit. Isn't that interesting? Because once I'm gone, who cares?
It makes perfect sense. I think it's that whole idea of legacy. But yeah, you're not around to know what that legacy is.
So exactly.
Where does it matter?
It's like, I can't believe anybody cares about that. Unless they knew something about death that I don't know.
So
peeking over from the other side. Yo, playing my fucking record or what?
So I've officially, we've got the name for the show then. It's like Sass Jordan Pragmatic Rockstar.
The queen of pragmatism. Yeah. Rock.
That's fantastic.
Oh dear, yeah. I can't stop laughing. I love laughing too, by the way. That's what's so great about Jan Arden. She makes you laugh. I love that. Oh my God. She is a funny motherfucker, that gal. I like her. Okay, so where were we?
So my co-host Mel, one of the questions that he really wanted to ask you was, the riff for "Make You a Believer." When you heard that, when that came out, like, did you kind of know right off the bat that that was a great riff?
Yes, definitely. As far as like, being inspired to write something, like with my friend Rick Mayer, he and I wrote that song together, and he just started playing it, and the song just it basically wrote itself. That's what it always feels like, you know. I think I've seen a million other people say the same thing, that you don't write the song, it comes through you, and you know, I've been saying that since I started writing songs. So, because it's the God's honest truth, it's almost like you get possessed by something that's already there, and it just asks you to translate it, and it just flows through so quickly. Sometimes it's like astounding, and that was one of those songs. And when we were done, we definitely knew this. It was a special. There was something extra stash about it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, yeah. And we got instant feedback from, you know, the people that were around us, like my manager and the record company at the time, and, you know, so everybody was like, whoa, this is a great song, holy shit, you know, so, yeah.
No,
yes,
and
ma'am.
And then, because I'm also thinking that that as you write songs, like, how do you write the songs? Like, do you kind of do vocal melodies, and then that's how it comes out?
No. Generally speaking, with me, almost, I would say most of the time, I write with one other person who will write, who comes up with the riffs or the chord progressions, sometimes a bit of melody, sometimes all the melody, but not very, very often, you know, I'll do the melody. But once somebody gives me a piece of music, or they're playing around with me, like we're both sitting in the same room, that music is what inspires the song to me. So you play a little bit of music, and I'll sing, and I'll hear something in my head, or I'll see something in my head, like a movie. Music always gives me like visual images, and it always gives me words. Always, always hear words. So once in a while, like my friend Brian Tishy and I, when we were writing stuff for our project, the Something Unto Nothing project, I would have a list of titles of songs that I wanted to write, and I go, "Let's write Nomad today." And he's like, "Yeah, no, how about this? No. I was like, "Yeah." That's it. And so we would go through it that we would come at it that way. You know, I've been with people who will send me music, you know, and say, "Okay, listen to this, get me ideas." I go, "Yeah." So basically, it's like that for me. You know, I rarely write lyrics first, if it's me writing, but I've written a bunch of lyrics that, like, my husband Derek, who I write with sometimes, he's taken the lyrics that were just sitting around, and then he would write music to it. Like, he's really brilliant at that. Mm. That's what Elton John and Bernie Taupin did. Like Bernie would send Elton lyrics, and Elton would write these insanely amazing songs from the lyrics. Like, I don't know how he did that. I'm like, that stunned me. I need music first, for sure. But that's not true, because I write lyrics without music, but I don't have any music in mind.
Right.
And I can't imagine that somebody can look at my words and hear a melody. It's like, it stuns me. Very impressed by that, I must say.
Yeah, that's so interesting to think about, you know, like the chicken and the egg philosophy as far as music, yeah.
And it's different for everybody, you know, like everybody's different. Like Timbaland, that producer, you know, that amazing producer songwriter guy, like he starts with a beat. You know, like, that's amazing. I love it. Actually, me and Tishy, he would do that too sometimes. He'd have like a, because he's a drummer as well as a guitar player, so he would, you know, hear the rhythm and exactly what he was going to play in his head. So and then he'd write the guitar parts to it. Oh, it's amazing. It's always amazing, and it's always different, and everybody's different. But that's basically my approach is, music first, words after.
Yeah, so I like it because you've got that kind of, you know, you go for that kind of communal songwriting thing where it's just like you're feeding off the energy of the other person, and I think that that really could bring so much. And I think the passion shows up too.
Yes, so right. I mean, that is the only thing I'm interested in. I'm interested in the energy and the high and the frequency of working with other people, no matter what it is. If I'm making a dinner, if I'm, you know, making a wine, if I'm, you know, traveling, I always like to be with at least one other person because it just makes it more fun, more interesting, more exciting, and usually funnier. Like, if you find something hysterically funny and you got no one to laugh with, it's not as much fun. is it?
Not at all. Nope.
You got a bunch of you and you're all pissing yourselves laughing. That is like the greatest experience on earth.
Well, and it's like seeing a comedy movie or even a horror movie in the theater, and those moments, like the highs, are, the funniest are funnier, and the horror and the scares are scarier because you're with a crowd, and so you get to feed off of their energy.
And it's the same with music.
Yeah,
same with music. That's why it's so great to play for people, you know. And it's so great to hear great music, like being an audience yourself. You know, that's great too. When it's a band or somebody you love. Oh my God. The best.
Well, and when you can tell that the performer is really into it and they're giving everything, then I think that exhorts the audience, and then everybody, you know, you can't help but get involved in that.
Exactly.
One of the questions that I was, or like things that I was thinking of, is that you said one time that it was hard to make a living in music in Canada. So how important is it to kind of branch out and do other things? I mean, between being a judge on Canadian Idol and now your wine and stuff like that, Sass Jordan is becoming a brand.
I have been for a long time.
Yeah.
It's my name. You know, that name lends itself to a product or two. Sassy Pants. Okay, but the thing is, first of all, I'd say it's challenging to make a living playing music anywhere. I don't think it would be just Canada.
Yeah, you know, no, that's
anywhere
fair.
In the world. And because, you know, music is very, I don't want to be boring, but it's pretty disposable in the sense that it's ubiquitous. Everywhere you go, you hear it, and you can get it for quote unquote free all day long, and you for your whole life, and you've never come to the end of all the recorded music there is. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. We tend to perhaps undervalue its contribution to our lives, I think, you know. However, anyways, whatever, that be that as it may, I think it's challenging for people to make a living in the arts. You know, I think art in general, fine arts, artisan, everything, I think the art does not necessarily hold a high enough value in our culture. I'm saying our culture, our, you know, North American culture. It could be because we're relatively new, you know, as far as a culture. We don't have much in Canada.
Yeah.
We're doing our best, okay? We're doing our best. But, you know, so, and yet art is what makes life worth living in so many ways, isn't mm-hmm. it? You know, our culture is very much geared towards chasing money and things as opposed to just being and enjoying and, you know, like that, like, have you ever been to a place which is notoriously poor?
I have.
And seen such joy in the face of the children, such joy in the, even in the face of the adults, and yet they face the most extraordinary challenges as far as we're concerned in their day, just in surviving.
Yeah.
You know? And yet there's this joy. And you're like, what the hell? You know, I got all this shit. And I'm not that happy. What the hell's going on?
And they're willing to share that happiness with you.
Yes. And they're willing to share their meager belongings, you know what I mean? It's like it's something very interesting going on there. So, anyways, I said it's challenging to make a living playing music here in general. Yeah, it is and it isn't. You know, for me, it's like I've been doing it so long, I've managed to, you know, hang in there.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm white, like I don't have any goddamn money. Because, you know, I'm old and I've been hanging in there.
Old my ass.
So, it's all good. I just wouldn't want to be starting out now. I don't think I would do it if I had to start out now.
Well, that's an interesting question then for me, because I also was reading that that you talked about the idea of, you know, how hard it was to get on radio at certain times early in your career. I mean, because they're, you know, we've already got our one female artist, so we can't have the two.
Yeah.
But so do you think that's different now?
No.
No.
I don't. Not in the genres that I play. No.
Yeah.
It's the same exact thing.
Do you think it's easier with the internet and everything else now that you can say fuck off radio and everything's good?
that's been my experience. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't get played on the radio. I don't think. Then again, let's face the fact that I don't listen to it either. Forgot about that bitch. If they're playing me, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I'm sure I've heard. I know I've heard your songs on the radio, but I can't say whether it was in the last 5 years.
Maybe one or two. Yeah, and God bless them if they are. I don't mean any harm. I'm just saying. I have trouble with radio because I have trouble with commercials. I can't stand them. I like they drive me insane.
Yeah.
So I listen to what at XM and that stuff. That's what I'll use, because then I can just hear music.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know much. Oh, here's the astounding thing, but I don't really know much about the music business at this point in my life, because I just don't pay that much attention to it. I don't find it particularly interesting. What I do works for me. And, you know, stuff like, I'm sorry, I just had a total vowel movement in my head. I was trying to say too many things at once and it got a log jam.
I know, yeah, we've all been there.
oh my goodness. So anyway. What's happening with me? I think that the internet, yes, it opened up so much, and it made people able to do stuff themselves. It's just as difficult, because think about the millions of people that are, you know, vying for attention,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And now they all have access to the same platform, shall we say, So they have to do something that, you know, really catches on with people. And I think that's terrific. I think that's absolutely awesome. There's a lot of things, that were easier in the olden days of the, the music business. You know, when you'd be given money to go and do something, and then they would, quote, unquote, take care of the rest of it, the record companies, et cetera. They take care of, you know, putting it together, getting it out there, getting it to radio, which was the only way, really, in those days, that people would hear of you, you know, through radio. Now it's, you know, like a lot of people don't listen to the radio, you know, or they listen to very specialized stuff like me, like XM,
mm-hmm.
you know. I find most of my stuff on, like, YouTube, and also on stuff that I listen to, and then there'll be, like, suggestions as to other types of music or other artists that play this sort of type of music, and I'll explore that. That's how I will find a lot of things, you know?
Yeah.
Also, word of mouth from other people that I know, like friends that I know, et cetera.
Yeah, for sure.
Musicians usually, yeah. Yeah. Fascinating. I love it. I love it. I'm very fortunate that I can make a living, you know, that I mm-hmm. do make a living. Very fortunate with that. So I personally have nothing to complain about at all.
I mean, that's great.
I'm a rarity.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm interested, when it came to the re-recording of Racine, Do you think it's a slippery slope on re-recording your own songs?
I guess it depends. depends who you are. Most people don't re-record. What they'll do is they'll remix or something like that, and I'll put it out again as a remix, like, the, you know, it's been remastered, mm-hmm. remixed, what have you. But most people don't re-record. I didn't find it as supposed to be slow. I thought it was perfect for the purpose that we did it, which was to celebrate the whatever was it, the 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? That's how old I am. I don't even remember. Was it the 25th? Okay.
Well, I was there for it, so I got the album.
There you go. It's shocking to me that it's 25 years now more.
Yeah.
It's astonishing. Like, what the hell? I think I blinked. But I actually prefer the re-recording, of course. Mm-hmm. But it makes sense because, you know, like, these songs have now gone, had the benefit of being alive for that long and having tweaks done to them by being performed so many times that made the songs better. Not all of them. Some of them are exactly the same as they were on the original recording, you know? And also the way we did it was so much fun, you know, like, just live off the floor and just living together in that space and just, you know, creating the whole thing as if we were in the 70s, which was the plan, you know? We just sort of time jumped. And that was a blast. It was, because you get to live in a sort of, like, fantasy world. Harry Potter. Fantasy world of music. Whoops, we're in the 70s. Yo! Wouldn't have been cool if some of those artists come in the door. That would have been even cooler. But yeah. A lot of them are no longer with us. So, anyway, yeah. So, I had a great time doing it. I can't, as usual, talk for anybody else. I don't know.
And you recorded that near Calgary, did you?
Yeah. At OCL's recording studios, just outside of Calgary.
Yeah.
Fabulous place, run by fabulous people. You know, really, really, really great. Oh, I love that place, and I love those people. And that's the other thing. I love, because it's sort of not really hard to get to, but it's a good 40-minute drive out of Calgary, you know? And so you're out in the bloody... You're in the country?
Yep.
There's cows and shit. You know, it's awesome. Awesome.
See, if I'd known...
A cat that I love. Sorry?
If I'd known when you were recording, I would have totally stalked you.
You'd have bippity-bopped out.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just like, hey, 40 minutes, I can do that.
Yeah, that's right. It's so cool, that place. Oh, my God. Lots of people record there. They're awesome. Awesome people.
No, that's very cool. Very, very cool. I'm interested. So you've got some shows coming up in Amsterdam and the Netherlands.
The Netherlands. Yep, I do. Yes, I do. Five. I've got five shows coming up in the Netherlands, and five in a row.
Get your rest, I guess.
You know, you rest after the five shows are done. It's quite intense, but it's fun because I love Dutch people. We always have a good time when we're there, and they're very, very loving and welcoming, and they're super pros as far as putting on shows. Like, we always play in best venues. We love the venue. So it's going to be fun. Super fun.
Nice. What's
And then we're recording a record.
That's right. Is that Big Noise?
In June. It's under the umbrella of Big Noise.
Oh, okay.
It's one of the projects, because Big Noise is, I call it, like, an ongoing project it's an open-ended project. So all kinds of projects can go under that umbrella. That's why I call it the Big Noise Project, because it goes on and on. But this particular recording is going to be, it's going to be called Sass Jordan Presents Sassy Blues with the Champagne Hookers, because the Champagne Hookers is my touring band, and we're going to do a bunch of blues songs and maybe write a couple too. So, but with, like, my take on it, our take on it, it's going to be a flipping blast.
Nice.
Oh my God! Yeah, and we're going to do that in June. And then we've got a show in the States, I think, in July. There's all sorts of other stuff that comes up love it. But then we've got this slammed August. Like, we're all over from the Maritimes to fucking Prince George. Is it Prince George? I get there's too many princes, yeah. And I get them screwed up, even though I am the queen. I get the princes screwed up. Is it Prince George?
I don't know.
I have to look at the website.
Prince George in BC, and there's Prince Albert in Saskatchewan. So it's
like, you're good. Isn't there a Prince Rupert?
Prince Rupert, yeah, that's isn't that in Ontario? Or
I have the faintest clue.
I'm lost on Prince Rupert. I've heard of
this
it, but
this country is right with kings, queens, and princes and princesses. Right. I tell you.
That's right. We are royalty.
God damn right we are. The Royal Canadians. The Royal Mounted Canadians.
I'm not very good on a horse, I'll be honest with you.
Well, that makes two of us. That's okay. We can get on a camel or something. Well, you can take the horse. We'll take the camel.
Yeah. I'd be down with that. Yeah.
People always look awkward on the back of a camel, though.
Well, I mean, how do you not, really? I mean,
there's no way to be elegant on
a camel. It's a humped mammal, for God's sakes. Like.
Stop! Stop! I'm crying. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Oh, this is so
good. All right, then. Yeah, I haven't had a drink, I promise. I am naturally nuts.
And you know, yeah, it's like you've come out of a Christmas carol and you've been visited by the three spirits and you're ready to admit that Christmas is fucking awesome.
I'm ready to rock. People that they should have a glass of wine before they listen to this podcast.
Well, and you know what a great segue to how about a glass of your wine?
Kick ass!
That's
well,
right.
I know. Oh, I love that wine. It's such a delicious wine. I'm telling you. And we just did a new blend for the white one. We just did a new one because we're running out.
Wow.
We're pretty much out of the red, which is so sad because when I say we're out of the red, that we're out of the first run. Now we gotta do a second run, but so it'll be a slightly different blend because the first that batch of Cabernet Franc that's in the first red. Oh, this is so confusing. I'm sorry. There's no more of it. So now we're creating a new one. It's still going to be kick-ass sap, but it's just a new blend. Anyways, it's fabulous stuff. And the new white is, it's divine. I can't think of another word. It's like this Japanese water dragon type wine. It's
wow.
So good.
You need to advertise everything. Like, I just want to hear Sass Jordan at just, you know, every, you know, like, you should do the radio because, like, for that, just because if I heard it's, like, Japanese water dragon, like, wine. Blasting fire and, like, oh my, I must have that.
It's like crystalline. It's got this fluidity and this crystalline, even though crystal doesn't sound fluid, but it's, like, crystally clear, this clarity in it, and it's not watery tasting, but it has this watery energy. It's fucking amazing. I was like, I bow to the god of wine. It's really amazing. I'm so thrilled. And what an incredible joy to work with a winery that's so close to where I live. It's in Ontario. It's Niagara Wines, you know. And so when you're drinking those wines, especially for me, it's like I'm drinking my own backyard. I like it. I like that.
So do the wines go across Canada? Like, do you have a lot of distribution?
They do go across Canada. They're shipped across. They're shipped anywhere in Canada. The thing is they're only available online.
Oh, okay.
Because we don't make enough of it to be putting it in, like, the the liquor stores like the LCBO in Ontario or the SAQ in Quebec. Like, we don't make enough of it to do that. You have to produce a certain amount of cases to do that, and we don't. We're not there yet. We wanted to see if anybody liked it in the first place, and they do. So now we're going to make more. We're going to make more the next time. It's going to be a larger batch. And then we're just going to keep going from there, because I've been getting like the most insanely great response from it. People have just loved it, you know, which is, I mean, pretty much everybody. I think there's only been one person I know that didn't like it. They just didn't like it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be, but you don't make it for the people who don't like it.
No, no.
You make it for the people who like it. It's very, very simple.
Yeah, I mean.
Just like music.
Just like music, exactly.
I don't make music for the people who don't like it.
That would be silly.
It would be, exactly. So people are like, well, how do you feel about the haters? I'm like, I could give a... I don't make the music for them. I don't make it for them. So they're irrelevant.
Yeah. Oh, that is just fantastic.
I love life.
Now I really want to try a kick-ass sass. I should order some.
Yeah, it's super. Do you do white or red generally? Which is your preferred?
Well, I see, that's the funny thing. I don't really drink wine very often, but I guess I'd probably go white. So it's
what do you normally drink? Like beer or nothing? Or spirit?
I guess it's more beer right now.
Right. Okay. Now, do you do craft? Or do you have or are you like a Coors Light guy?
No, it's more craft.
Yeah, because like craft breweries, I mean, in Canada, probably everywhere, but the only ones I know are in Canada, are coming up with some pretty awesome beer. And mm-hmm. I am not really a beer drinker, but my girlfriend is, and she loves it. She's always dragging me off the craft. I'm like, oh my God. Break my arm. But so I now, like, the, you know, I've had quite a few beers now, and I'm starting to appreciate them it more. Still not my most favorite thing, but listen, it's alcohol. I give it that.
That's right. Well, you know, it is fascinating to explore, like, because actually just last year I went through the Jack Daniel's distillery and some of the older older ones in Tennessee. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, that's my next move.
It's a lovely place.
I'm not kidding, bro. Oh, I'm definitely doing that for sure. I'm on it. I'm actually already on it, but, you know. I was gonna say, don't tell anybody. Oh, wait a minute, asshole. We're on a podcast. Oh yeah, there's that.
Well, no, you know, it's. I'd say nobody's listening, but that wouldn't be selling me very well.
That would be a mildly counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Anyway, so yeah, so if you don't normally drink wine, I wish I knew your taste a little bit more, because I can tell you which one I would recommend.
Well, tell me your favorite, you know, and then that's the one I'll order.
Well, hopefully there's some left, man. Okay, I would try the Cab Franc. But yeah, I would, and then when my new white comes out, I just think the whole world should drink that, except for we wouldn't have any left, and that wouldn't make me very happy. So forget about that.
Yeah, buy it, but only in the right amount so that I can still keep drinking it.
I need some. I need to save some. Oh, you bastards, you all brought my wine. I got nothing left. Oh, this is it. I can't talk to you. Can you imagine? Like, yeah, I'm like, okay, buy it, but don't buy it.
Yeah.
If you buy it, there'll be none left for me.
This is a real mixed message. So.
What a cuckoo head. Oh, my God. How's the weather where you are? Is it warm or cold?
Right now, it's actually quite warm, about 12 degrees, I think.
Oh, you skunk. Oh, my God. I'm just trying to figure out what it is here, because I just went outside, and now I'm in the sun. I like the sun.
Understandable.
So yeah. But except it's minus five.
Oh, yeah.
I'm lying. It's plus three. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess it was minus five this morning. Anyway, so it's plus three now. All right.
There you go. Plus temperatures. I love it when I talk to people out in LA and especially over the winter, and they're like, so what's the temperature like? It's fucking cold. Okay, like I know it's great where you are.
And I used to live there too. I lived there for 8 years or seven or eight years, and I never thought I'd come back to the cold. But you know what? I'm glad I did. I like it here.
Yeah, there's something special about Canada.
Especially these days. Holy Hannah. Anyway, so what did we not cover, Brett?
Oh, my Lord. Well, I'll tell you. I mean, we could, you know, I could probably ask you questions until the, that's where I was preparing to go, but it was just like, wait, does that make any sense? And I'm like, I don't know if that makes sense.
Not a prerequisite to talk to me, making sense.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's really important.
You don't need it. Yeah. I'll tell you what else I saw. This is absolutely completely irrelevant to anything we were talking about, but there is a squirrel that lives near my house. I don't know exactly, but I see him every now and then. He has a snow white tail,
ooh,
a gray body, and a snow white face. It is the weirdest thing I have ever seen in my life. I figure I must be a unicorn if I see squirrels like that.
There was a squirrel Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
Nope.
I was going to say that is actually my true title, by the way. It's not Canada's Queen of Rock. It's I am the unicorn of rock.
The unicorn of rock. Wow.
Yes.
There's only one of you, and that is the truth.
That's right.
But I tell you though, if you could bottle up the happiness and the laughter, and you could sell that, then what an amazing thing that would be.
Oh, that's so sweet. But you know what? It's in all my music. It's in there. It's the energy is in there. I think that's what makes people like it. To be honest with you, because it's not much different from anybody else, really. In my opinion, it's the same old. It's still, you know, there's four great chords, three great guys. Not gay guys, great guys. Gay guys is good too.
Sure, if they can play, I don't care.
Those are the guys, you know that band Cheap Trick?
Yep.
So, very good friends of mine, old friends. I've known them for, I don't want to tell you how long I've known them. But anyway, and that was one of the first things that Rick said to me years and years ago. He goes, yeah, you know. Sass. They call me Sass. Yeah, Sass. Four great chords, three great guys. Not about thumbs up, Cheap Trick.
That's so awesome.
It was actually the other way around because there's four guys in the band and they had three chords. That's it.
Well, I was wondering since they had problems with Bunny, I guess they're so it's like how late was this? Yeah.
They got the Dax man. Yeah. He's badass too. Bunny is a legend, though. I mean, he's a legend.
But
the Dax is killer.
I mean, you know, Cheap Trick, so good. Like Robin Zander, what an amazing singer.
Incredible. He was one of my top five before I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I met Rick and Robin the first time when I was 15 years old, and I was playing in a band in Montreal on Christmas Street. It was called Friar's Pub, and we were doing five sets a night. And it was the last set of the night. It was fucking 2 a.m, and we're like, oh, is this ever going to end? and these two guys walk in. It was like this tiny little dump. Like this. You could probably fit 60 people in there, I swear to God, on a good night like that. And they would be like shoulder to shoulder, 60 people, seriously. And these two walk in, and this is before anyone had heard of Cheap Trick, ever, right? And these two guys walk in, and I'm like, that guy looks like a fucking rock star. Oh, my God. And he sits right in front of us, and there was me and my friend Vicky. She was in the band, too. We were the two girls in the band at that time. We were 15, so it was that. And we finished the set, and he comes right up to us, and we're like, oh, my God. So he goes, "Hey, Matt, I play in a band too." We're like, "What? Who are you? Like, what band? We've never seen, like, you know, around town." He goes, "No, well, we just played at the Montreal Forum." And I'm like, "What? Who the fuck is this guy? He's like, he must be a fucking rock star. I never heard of him." Anyways, they were opening for Kiss. It was Kiss's 10th anniversary tour. It was like 1980.
Would have been about 82, 83?
86? No, 86, I think. Oh, okay. I was 15, it was 86. So anyway, and within 3 months, they became whatever. It was when Live at Budokan came out 3 months later after we'd met them, and they became this huge, huge, everybody knew who they were. And we're like, "We know that guy!" That was the first time I met them. I met them again, for real, like 5 years later.
That's,
or 6 years, something like that, yeah. It was crazy, 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 crazy.
Yeah, it must be so awesome to, well, and I mean, I know what it's like from my perspective too, but I mean, you know, to meet these people that you wind up listening to and just, you know, being able to interact with them on that personal level. And I think for me, like, one of the greatest joys about doing this show, besides helping to promote the music that I love and helping to promote everything, I love the fact that, you know, as we have a conversation, it's great and it's just a conversation. Like, I love, because we're all people, and I love that aspect of it.
Me too. That's what I like the most. That's exactly what I like the most. I don't, you know, the more, "So, how did you get your start?" It's like, ugh. You know, but when you start talking, like, you're actually interacting, and the other person is also telling their stories and saying stuff as well, I find that way more interesting.
Oh yeah, because that's, I mean,
like,
because,
we're doing.
And again, it's a, like we talked about, you know, that whole music being, you know, worldwide. It's like, but just like my story of getting into listening to music is my story. It's not like anybody else's.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. Love it.
So fantastic. You know, Sass, it's been such a joy to talk to you, and I know we've taken up so much of your time, and I just appreciate it so much that you're willing to come on the show and you know,
my
well,
pleasure.
Talk.
It's been a riot. It's been a riot, baby. I laughed till I cried at one point.
Well, that's great. See, there you go. That I can put that on a business card.
I love it. Do it.
It's going on the website.
All right, my dear.
All right, well.
Brett, it's been an absolute joy talking to you too, because you got a great sense of humor and you like music. You love music. And
you know it.
I love you. That's what makes the world go round. My world, anyway.
Well, Sass, I love you too. It's so amazing. And I want you to just tell everybody where they can find your upcoming projects, your wine, and all that stuff, because, you know, people got to find you and they got to listen and they got to drink.
Yeah. I would say the best place to find me and to find out anything I'm doing, if you're interested, is my website, sassrin.com. And that's where you can order the wine. There's a link to order the wine through my website, so that's easy to remember. And then I'm on Instagram. You know, I'm on all the usual suspects. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and my website.
Your website.
Yeah. My website is there, too.
I love a good website.
So do I. And a good wine. Yeah. A good wine and a good website.
Woohoo.
Can't beat it. All right. So, yeah, that's the place to go, kid.
All right. Well, I hope you make it out to Calgary again soon. Really want to...
I will. Oh, we're playing. Where the heck is it? I don't actually know where it is, but it's on the website.
Oh, okay. I didn't see anything.
Alberta. Oh, maybe it's not announced yet. It'll be there.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I look forward. I'd love to, we'd love to talk in person. I think that would be fantastic. Get a chance to meet you live. That would be wonderful. But,
awesome.
You know, and I certainly hope that you'll be on the show again once you've got a couple of new projects under your belt, then you can come back on and we can have some more laughs.
100%.
All right.
My friend Eric the Altor, he he's the dude.
He is totally the dude. Love
and
that
he's
guy.
He's always on it. Yeah, perfect. Okay, my love.
Awesome.
You have a fabulous rest of your day.
And you too. Sass Jordan,
all
the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
The Queen!
Ciao for now.
All right.
Bye, Annie.
Bye-bye.